Great. And this is Inner Garden with Fun with Inner Garden, Reverend Barbara Leonard. And I have a wonderful guest here today, and that's Derek White Skycloud. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing really well.
That's good. Just give a little bit of update on where you're at now with our chapel. You're an elder at the chapel, which is a lay minister. And you work a lot with the Métis Society around our area and throughout the province of BC and Alberta.
Yes.
And do a lot of healing facilitating, spiritual facilitating, and use a variety of methods of what we would call a focus for mediumship. So now you have a radio program on Z-Talk Radio, and you're joining us on BBS Radio. So isn't that good?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So what are you going to talk to us about tonight, Derek? What way will we go?
Well, let everybody else know out there, well, I'm actually a psychic medium and a paranormal investigator, and plus being a radio show host with Z-Talk Radio. But I actually always talk about, how people deal with issues in their lives and help them with their journeys.
Good.
So lately, I've been getting a lot of people calling regarding their loss of loved ones and how they can deal with it, because even though, you know, sometimes people say after they have lost their son or a daughter or a husband, mostly it's the children in their lives that the mothers are always feeling very lost. There really are not as many grief counselors as most people think. You know, when a young person passes over, you can go to a physician and get advice from a counselor of some sort. But for some reason, they don't turn to those people because they fear that they'll be ridiculed if they want to make contact with a loved one that has been left and across the world or crossed over.
And, well, we can understand that, right? I mean,
yeah.
We like to hear from our mom and dad every once in a while.
Yeah, so I've been hearing from a few people saying that, you know, the doctors or the medical industry would prefer to give them, you know, a drug to, you know, thinking that they need antidepressants. Well, you know, I really don't think they always need antidepressants. I think what these basic things need is comfort, knowing that their child is still okay in spirit. That happens. That's, I've been getting a lot of this now lately from people. And it's, I find it, I would say, ongoing now, maybe because they're doing cutbacks in the medical industry, that they're not getting as much group counseling as they used to have. But I'd let the world know out there, they do. The medical industry does need group counseling. I mean, they have to have those counselors. You can't just let them go and say, well, we're short of money, we can't afford this. And so I've been hearing this quite often lately.
Yeah, even at the church, we know that a lot of people come there when they're really hurting.
Yes.
And they're very lonely, and they're very much feeling separated from their loved ones when they have a loss. And it is such a great thing to be able to communicate and connect them with a loved one so that they're sure that that person isn't really gone forever from them. They're just like a thought away.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is such a great thing to be able to do that. So talk a little bit about your own self. What got you first talking to people from the other side and making that connection?
Well, most people that do know of me, a lot of my experiences were through the decision of becoming a medium, which was encouraged by actually one man from the beginning. When he actually was with the RCMP, he was not an officer of the police, but he actually worked for them as a psychic to help find missing people and solving crimes. Mm-hmm. And he's actually the one that approached me. But now, I wasn't looking for, you know, to say I want to be a psychic. I wasn't looking for that. I was still curious about my life and how to utilize it or what to do with it. And he approached me in a store where I was shopping with my wife. And he walked up to me and asked me if I was Derek. And I said, yes. And he said, you don't know me. And I know, you know, and I don't know you. He said, but Spirit sent me to see you and to talk to you and help you, encourage you. So I was quite shocked at knowing that. Hang on a second. Somebody's going
to come through. Yeah, it'd be like feeling as if maybe you want to take a run out the door as fast as you can get out. You don't know what this
is. And I didn't know what to do with that. So what I ended up doing was I accepted his understanding of it, because basically when he did approach me, he says, you know, there is spirit, and if you want to learn, I can show you. I can show you how to do this. And I said, well, how do I do this? He says, well, I'll train you. For the next 6 months, I'll train you. And he said, but once I've done training you, then you're on your own. And I thought, okay, fine, I can handle that.
So you had a curious enough mind that you said, well, let's give it a try anyway. You weren't so scared of it.
And I wasn't scared of it. It wasn't much scared. It was more like curious, you know, like how do you handle this? Because I remember seeing a lot of people. I mean, there were curious. I used to ask a few people about how to use my skills. And one lady before when I met Ron, but this one lady came up to me and she was a practicing witch. And she was trying to train me her way. And she handed me a whole bunch of witchcraft books and to conjure and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, it didn't feel right because my body was trembling. I didn't feel very good about that. And she handed me a whole pile of books, and she had them in a plastic bag. And after she left, you know, I thanked her for the books. And after she left, and she didn't want them back. But after she left, I went outside out back, and I was living in an area where there's an industrial building. And I threw the bag of books on the roof. Oh, look at them again.
Maybe we shouldn't say that on the air. She might be listening. Goodness.
Oh, no, it's been over 20 years now, I'm sure. Oh, she's... Yeah. Wouldn't have heard that for sure, but I'm sure she'll understand now. But I remember her intentions are good, but I think she thought that I was looking for becoming a witch, and that's not what my job was. I was,
and at that time too, 20 years ago, there was a lot more negative connotation on anything of this, so that really kind of bristled the air in the back of your neck.
Definitely. I mean, even when she handed me those books, and I had that creepy feeling. Well, you know how you get that feeling that something doesn't feel right, and I had that creepy feeling. And oh, no, this is not it. This is not what I'm looking for. Yeah. So I walked away from that. And then again, I would say no matter in a week, like I said, my wife and I, Marina and I, went for shopping over to Sally Ann Thrift Shop. We were just visiting it, and my wife gets to try some new clothes, some clothes in there. And knowing me, I'm always in the book section, and that's where this, every time I was touching something, this guy was touching the same thing after I just finished touching it, and he was going and I thought, what the heck's with this guy? Watching him, and that's how I realized after he was actually doing psychometry, he was actually reading me as soon as I touched it. And
well, this is the interesting thing, because way back then, you would not have understood what I call the methods of mediumship. In other words, the mediumship instruments that you can use, psychometry, that you can use palmistry, you can use touching the hand, you can, you know, there's so many ways that you can make the link with the person's energy. And as a matter of fact, I know when I first started reading, I could read, but I didn't even know why I could read. You know, I was reading tea leaves, and it was because a lady that I worked with, 60 years ago now, I'm just thinking about it, I worked with her, I was 16, and she was able to read tea leaves for the girls that were working at this theater. And we'd go out at coffee break time, and she would read our tea leaves, and sometimes she'd just place her hand over the cup, and she'd go off with all these great projections that was going on. And I can recall one of the things at the time, you know what 16-year-old girls are like? They're in love, right? I mean, how many 16-year-olds do you know that aren't in love? Well, anyway, I was so madly in love at the time. And she said to me, you know, he'll be in your life for a fair while, but you are not going to marry him. And I thought, I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want to hear that. And, she was perfectly right. She was dead on in everything she said. You will not marry that man. I know right now that you think he's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. But there is going to be another man that comes along, and he will be the husband that you're looking for. And it was so funny that she was able to kind of project these things. And it wasn't something that she was doing like, oh, well, she didn't like the person and she was giving you an impression. She basically come up with things like, for instance, she told me one time, "Oh, you're going to, he's going to come home from," and he was in the Navy, and she said, "He's going to come home early and he's going to surprise you." And I thought, no, he's not. You know, he's not going to surprise me. I know he's coming home on such and such a date. We'll say that it was supposed to be on Saturday. And on Tuesday, I'm having my coffee break, and I'm sitting eating my muffin and tea, and I turn around when the door clicks in the restaurant, and here I see him closing the door. I see the back of his head, and my heart jumped into my mouth. So, I mean, how she would know that he was going to surprise me when I already knew he was supposedly coming home on Saturday. I had a date with him, blah, 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 you know. Yeah. And so that started my curious mind going, you know. So imagine the same thing. For most people who really get into this deeply, I think they have to have a pretty curious mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you know, this is something that actually I was everyone has a curious mind, and I've noticed actually it's more than women than actually is men that are, they take chances in wanting to find out what's going on, how to work with spirit. The guys, for some reason, I don't know why, but they play a, what you call the manly role. They really don't want to ask the question thinking that they'll say something wrong, or, you know, they play that macho role. They don't want to, you know, if there's something that could, if something becomes emotional, too emotional for them, they, instead of them like tearing, like most women will do, they'll cry and let it go of their emotion. The men will like take that deep breath and they'll like hold it and go like, "I don't want to talk about it."